Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll pick up at verse 25. As this morning, as we consider love the church, love the church. A 97-pound Labrador retriever named Marley claims to be the worst dog in the world. Now, he goes berserk when he hears a thunderstorm, and he destroys everything in his path. He steals food off the dinner table. He slobbers incessantly. He drinks from the toilet bowl. He eats the bath towels and sponges and socks and used tissues and chews plastic toys and chews the furniture, and he's chewed up speaker covers and paychecks and even an expensive gold necklace. And he seems unable to be reformed. Yet he is so lovable. How in this world can a master love a dog with such a description as that? With all of these bad qualities, how would it even be possible to love that dog? Well, a dog also has a lot of good qualities too. But you know, the church is the same way. There are many faults and problems found in the church today. There are decisions made that are not agreed with. There are things that go on in the church that seem to bring about problems. And sometimes someone does something that somebody doesn't like. And there's things that are just happening constantly that get criticism. And, you know, the church has a lot of problems and faults, but we should still love the church. Many people have problems with the church because they fail to see the good that the church has to offer. And, you know, we have to look past the faults. We have to look past the problems. We have to overlook the frustrations to see the church the way Jesus Christ sees the church. And when we truly and sincerely love the church, it will change the way we interact within the church. It will change the way we get involved in the church. It will change our motives. It will change our perspective. It will change our priorities toward the church. Now, there are many Christians who do not love the church. Now, that sounds like a paradox in some words there, doesn't it? To be a Christian and not love the church? You know, how in the world could that be? But they don't show their love for the church. You know, they rarely show up for a worship service. And they give very little of their time to the church, very little of their money to the church. And they don't do anything to advance the cause of the church. If we love the church, we will show it in what we choose to do. And we will show it in how we choose to live our everyday life. Read with me from the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, starting with the 25th verse. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives and their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I have four things that I want us to consider very quickly this morning. First of all, Christ loves the church. When we love someone, we usually love the things that they love. You know, that's the way it is with, you know, with family heirlooms and treasured things like that. They hold great value to us, you know. And most likely everyone here has something that someone has handed down to you over the years. And, you know, as far as I look at whatever your something is, it probably don't look like much to you, to me. And the same way, whatever I might have may not look too much to you. But that's not the point of it, is it? It is because someone you loved owned that. Someone you loved cared about that. And so you care about that. You treasure it because someone loved it and gave it to you. We should love the church because Jesus Christ loves the church. And when I'm saying the church, I'm not talking about this building. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people who are saved. I'm talking about Christians. We should love the church because we are commanded to love the church. Over in the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter, in verses 34 and 35, we read these words, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Now, loving your neighbor is a principle that God taught from the very beginning. Loving your neighbor is not a new thing at all, but it was something new the way Christ commanded it. It's different because Christ commanded us to love others as He loved people. As He loved them. That's what makes the difference. Christ loves people who may not be so easy to love at all. Do we love the way Christ loves? Christ demonstrated His love for the church by giving Himself for the church. Paul says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." Paul uses this example of Christ's sacrificial love for the church to teach, or Paul uses this example for to teach husbands how to love their wives. Jesus loves us so much that His life became worthless for your soul, for my soul. If we love Jesus, we must love His church. God promises to take care of those who are part of His church. Look at verse 29. It says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church." You know, all too often the evening news will carry some story about a parent that, just is not taking care of their children. And far too often we hear about this parent who is neglecting their child. And they're not providing the food that they need. They're not providing the home that they need. They're not providing the discipline and the guidance they need. And when we hear such a story as that, we think, well, what on earth is wrong with those people? And such a parent is always seen in such a bad light. You know, the same thing happens really within the church. But you see, Christ loves the church. And there's not one of us in the church that is not going to receive what we need because God supplies, and He supplies it abundantly. The church depends upon Christ for her spiritual nourishment. And Christ provides and takes care of the church. And when His church hurts, He hurts. When Christ hurts, you know, He takes care of those people who are hurting. Do you remember what Jesus said to Saul there on the road to Damascus? You know, Saul was on his way persecuting Christians, and he was going to Damascus and going to just take all these Christians in and put them up and persecute them all he could. But on the way, Paul was knocked down by the bright light, and Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me. Now why did he say me? The church is the body of Christ. The church is made up of Christ's people. When Saul hurt Christ's people, he was hurting Christ. When your heart breaks, when you're stressed out, when you're struggling in life, when you're offended, when you're mistreated, Christ hurts right along with you. He doesn't leave us out there all alone to defend ourselves. He hurts with us. Christ loves His church, which means He loves you individually. Each one of us. You see, Jesus is the head of His church. And someone may say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. That is not possible. That is not possible. Colossians, the first chapter, and verse 18 tells us, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. There is no sin in Jesus Christ. There is no sin in the head of the body of the church. But we, the body, are full of sin. And yet, Jesus loves us in spite of our sin. Jesus loves His church and gave Himself for her. We should love the church because Jesus loves the church. Well, we should love the church because the church is God's family. You know, every family sitting here this morning has secrets. Now, I'm not going to ask you to divulge your secrets. Most of us probably don't want to even hear your secrets. But, you know, there are some things that we never tell outside the family. Every one of us have some skeleton in our closet that we don't want nobody else to know anything about. And so, you know, you keep it within the family. Now, do you stop loving that family member? Absolutely not. You still love that family member because he is a part of the family and you love him unconditionally. The church should guard each other the same way we guard our physical family members. When someone in the church sins, we should not go throwing it all over the community. We should want to help that individual to overcome his sin and be brought back to the church and restored to Jesus Christ. Our love for one another, our love for our spiritual family must be unconditional. And some things just need to stay right within the family. Paul writes for us again there in Ephesians, the third chapter. There in verses 14 and 15, he says, For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know, you're related to your family because of blood. The blood in your body flows through your mother and father. The blood in your body flows through your brothers and sisters. You are related because of blood. As God's children, we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are made part of God's family. And the Scripture uses all sorts of analogies to show that the church in comparison to the body, and that Jesus Christ is the head, and that God loves His body, the church. We who are a part of the church are children of God. We who are a part of the church are brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. And nothing should mean more to us than knowing that we have a loving Heavenly Father who wants us to be with Him for eternity. Now that's not hard for me to grasp because I grew up in a family where there was great love. where my mother and father loved each other, and our brothers and sisters loved each other, and love was abundant in our family. But I know not everyone is so blessed with that. You know? And some people didn't have that privilege. Some grew up in the midst of arguing and fighting. I didn't have to do that. Some have to deal with divorced parents. I didn't have to deal with that. Some have had to deal with their parents that you felt like they didn't love you. I didn't have to deal with that. But you see, the church makes all the difference. All the difference. It doesn't matter what you went through in this physical life. Jesus Christ loves you. And He wants you in His church. He wants you in His family. And He gave His blood to make that possible. Well, thirdly, love the church because of the strong relationships that are there. The church is unlike anything else in the whole wide world. You know, there are common bonds in the church that are just very special relationships. And, you know, you can have dozens of friends out there in the world, and all of us do. But no friendship can compare with those that we develop within the church. You know, you cannot find friends out in the world who care about your soul. You cannot find friends out in the world that pray for you, who want you to be a better person, who will encourage you when you're down, who will love you unconditionally, who will forgive you when you mess up, who will care about you and care about where you spend eternity. The world could care less about those things. The fellowship we have within the church is unique to the church. The giant redwood trees of California have real shallow roots. Having real shallow roots, how is it possible for them to grow so tall and so stately and be so big and yet be able to stand against all the storms that come and all the winds that come upon them and they not get knocked down? Their roots are all intertangled. And they're gripped together. And when the wind blows this side, the other side holds on. And they hold each other up. As Christians, we should be rooted together in Jesus Christ and be able to stand with each other no matter what the problems might be. Because we are connected in Jesus Christ. In 1 John, the first chapter, the 7th verse, it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Christian fellowship is very different from worldly friendships. And, you know, it's very different in that we, when we spend time with each other, we are growing in fellowship with God, with each other. Christian friendships, result in spiritual growth. And I've heard so many people over the years of my ministry speak about the friendships that they have made in the church and how much the church means to them. And, you know, that card from that Christian brother or sister, that visitor, that phone call, that waiting there at the hospital through a surgery, the prayers that have been offered up on someone's behalf, these things mean the world to brothers and sisters in Christ. I can't understand, and I really don't want to understand, how anyone can go through the storms of life without Christian friends. The best friend we can have, the strongest relationships we can grow, are with people who share the same faith and the same values that we do. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, he who talks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, iron, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Be so careful who you choose to be your friend. Well, number four, love the church because of her impact on the community. You know, there are a lot of clubs and social groups that do some amazing things. You know, these groups, they'll raise money for funding the cure for diseases, for to build hospitals, to feed the hungry, to provide gifts for children at Christmas time, you know, to lobby for moral issues that are important to us. But these groups will never make the impact on the world that the church has made. Jesus has been, the church rather, has been the conscience of society for decades. Have you ever thought where the world would be if the church had not had the influence that she has had over the decades? You see, the church has influenced the world. But folks, for the first time in the history of the church, God's people are having very little influence on our society. If the church was doing what the church ought to be doing, there would be no homosexual marriage issues. If the church was doing what the church should be doing, there would be no abortion issues. If the church was doing what the church should be doing, there would be no gambling issues. If it wasn't for the church, though, and the influence that the church has had over the centuries, the world would be so much worse than what it is. The church is, you see, shown love and compassion to people that are just really unlovable. I understand in India, there's a group of people that numbers somewhere around 60 million or more that are called the Untouchables. And it all depends upon what they do for a living. People in India are born into a caste system. And that caste system dictates to them and their children and on down what their living will be. And if they do certain jobs, they are considered to be untouchable and they are outside of society. And no one will love them, no one will befriend them. Well, many of those people are coming to Christ because they are finding love and acceptance from Christian people. The church has shown these people who have been thrown out by, you know, out of, as garbage by their society. The church has shown them love and compassion the same way Jesus did, and it's making a great impact on that society. Jesus shows us that every person is valuable. Every person matters to God. Now, many of you have told me stories about your life and growing up. And there are many in the church today who felt like they were rejected by their parents, by the world, by their friends, and yet they found all of that in the church. They have found love. They have found acceptance. They have found people who care about them through the church. Because the church is headed by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says we are to love the unlovable. We are to love the untouchables of this world. And so the church has had influence on so many lives. So many. You know, everyone sitting here has had the influence of the church in your life. We look back and we see that one life was changed. That man Saul walking down the road was touched and said, you go find some people in the church to tell you what to do. And Ananias was sent to him. And the church touched Saul. And Saul was changed. And as a result, millions of lives have been changed because of Saul. This morning, nobody is so far away from God's love that His grace cannot touch them. And when God's grace touches them, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now you may feel like a castaway by the world, but when you come to Jesus Christ, He throws all that away and makes you somebody new. He makes you somebody. He makes you a child of God. By His blood, we become relatives. This morning, do you belong to Jesus Christ? Are you a part of the Lord's church? Have you been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? Have you yielded your life to Him as Jesus Christ saved you? God adds to His church those who are being saved. This morning, wouldn't you like to be a part of a family that's going to live forever? Wouldn't you like to be part of a family whose Father cares about you? Then give your life to Jesus Christ. If you have a decision, won't you come as we stand and as we sing? Must needs go home by the way of the world.